Yeah, we have fish boils.
That's special.
Oh.
Sorry, that's true.
You need to come. You need to come visit us. All right, if the insults have finished, I will begin. So again, we thank you very much for inviting us here. We always look forward. This is a highlight every year that we look forward to coming out here, mostly to see all of you, but also just, you know, we do a lot of traveling, and Pennsylvania is really a beautiful state. So we always enjoy coming here for that reason, too. You don't have as much cheese as we do in Wisconsin, but other than that. So again, thank you. And also I want to thank you for a number of you have been praying for and supporting our work in Asia and the orphanage in India. So I want to thank you very much for that. I learned many years ago when we lived in Asia and when I began to travel in Asia that time and the way things work there is not like here. So the moment I step off the plane, I just relax and think, you know, when things happen, they will happen. And I'm not real time conscious and real goal oriented. I'm going to accomplish all this stuff by a certain time. So it just, because of things, you know, that's the way things are often. So I expected a few snags along the way, but we are hoping to have, we have the funds for the land to build a building, an orphanage building. And so I'm hoping all the legal stuff will be taken care of by at least sometime in August anyway, I would hope. So again, thank you very much for that, and things are proceeding with that. By the way, some of you have met and others have heard and read the name Pakinatan. He's an empty nester now. That makes me feel old. So his daughter just graduated from college last May and immediately had three job offers and is figuring out which one she wants to accept. And his son just this week, right, in fact right now, is beginning college in Chennai. So, all right, so our theme for this weekend again is another point of view. And there's a couple ways you can present another point of view. It can be something controversial, like I did with the Lord's Supper and Tracy did this morning with the End Times, where it's another point of view and it's, you know, it's going to make some people mad, it's going to upset some people. You can also present another point of view where it's just, it's another way of looking at things, but as Dave did on Friday night, I don't think too many people get real upset and angry about what Dave presented, but it's certainly another way of looking at things that most people have never considered. By the way, Dave, last night, Gene said, When Dave spoke on Friday night, I was mesmerized. Now, we got married in 1980. She has never said she was mesmerized by anything I said. So, congratulations. So, this morning, I'm choosing a topic that I don't think is going to be real controversial. I don't think anybody's going to get upset about this. So I'm going to try to leave you not walking out upset, but I hope encouraged. But yet I think you'll see it's certainly another way of, another viewpoint, another way to look at this book. So again, if you don't have Philemon open to Philemon, and let's have a word of prayer and then we'll look at this book. Father, we thank you again for the joy that it is for us to be able to gather together this weekend and to enjoy the fellowship that we have in Christ and rejoice in all the blessings that we have in Christ, and also to gather together to study and to understand and to believe the things that you've revealed, not to doubt them or question them or criticize them or change them, but simply to believe them and rejoice in them. And I pray as we this morning take a brief look at this short book, that this would be an encouragement and edification to us. We thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so since this is a short book, I'm going to begin just by reading through the book and just make sure everyone's familiar with the contents here and even if you are, just kind of refresh your memory on it. So the book of Philemon, and beginning in verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand, I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord, refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Okay, so that's the book of Philemon. So I want to talk briefly this morning about two different ways of looking at this book, studying this book. And they're not two contradictory ways. They're two ways that I believe we should look at this book. So the first thing I want to say about the book of Philemon is the book of Philemon is very much ignored. One reason for that is it's a small book. So just by the number of verses, you would expect that you're going to hear more reference to Romans and 1 Corinthians and other epistles, just again by the length of the book. But also, I think many people read Philemon and they just think it's kind of a nice little story, but there's not really a lot here as far as doctrinal content. And they think of Philemon also as a very simple book, because it presents just kind of a background story here that's fairly simple to understand. And, so it's kind of a simple book. And I want to present to you another point of view, and that is that I believe that the order of Paul's epistles is intentionally as it is for doctrinal purposes. Most or all of you know that Paul's epistles are not arranged in the order of the time in which they were written. In other words, Romans is first in your Bible, but it's not the first book that Paul wrote, and so forth. And again, I would suggest that they're arranged in a doctrinal order. So the baby book, if we can say, the simple book is Romans. Now you think, oh, Romans is a tough book. Well, in a sense, yes. But that really, Romans is the foundational book. For the dispensation of grace, that's where you have to begin and get that foundation in the book of Romans. So that really, in a sense, is the beginner's book, the baby book, if we can say that. And then as you go through, Paul's epistles build on the doctrine that was given in Romans. When you come to Philemon, Paul's last epistle, at least as the apostle of the Gentiles, I believe this is not, Philemon is not to be viewed as a simple little book, but it in fact is the most advanced doctrine that Paul gives. It's not written for in a sense, for beginners or for baby Christians. They need to go back to Romans and get that information. But Philemon is a man who, as you could see, I believe, reading through the book, some people have a very negative view of Philemon, that he's a slave owner, and now he maybe kind of wants to get revenge on his slave who ran away and all that. But if you were paying attention as we read through this book, you see Philemon is a very godly man who has ministered and edified many saints. So Philemon is a very mature, experienced worker in the ministry for many years, and a close friend and co-laborer with Paul. So the book of Philemon, I believe the proper way to understand it is, again, it's really, in a sense, the most advanced doctrine of everything that Paul wrote. And the thing that Philemon deals with is, and many of you have been in the ministry and been seeking to minister to people for many, many years now. Philemon is in a situation where he has done that for many years, and now he faces a situation where he's been deeply wronged, deeply offended, deeply hurt by the way, it's not a slave, but a servant, who has run away from him and betrayed him, and the indication is here probably also stolen from him and so forth. So I'm not going to dwell on that more, but another point of view, I believe that we should look at Philemon again as advanced doctrine for mature saints who have many years of experience in the ministry, have edified many saints through a number of years, and now they're in a situation where they've been deeply offended and wronged and hurt. And so, how do you deal with that? And, many of us have been in those kind of situations. How do you respond to that kind of a situation? And as you go through here, there's much that we can learn from what Paul wrote to Philemon about how we deal with such matters in grace, how we deal with them in love. And so that's one way, I believe, that probably the main way, I believe, that we should look at the book of Philemon and study it for that purpose. So I would encourage you, if you, and we all are in these situations, but when you are in such a situation, I would encourage you to read the book of Philemon. And it's a short book, but spend a good bit of time in here, carefully reading it and going verse by verse, and see what you can learn to help you in this kind of a situation where you've been wronged and things are difficult, people have offended you and hurt you and so forth. All right, then another way that I believe it's intended that we look at the book of Philemon is that in this book, Onesimus represents sinners. Paul represents Jesus Christ. And Philemon represents God the Father. So in the next minutes, I want to consider this book with this in mind, and I believe there's, and I'm not going to go through every single thought that we might have with this in mind, but I'll at least get you started in thinking down this line. And I believe it's a very encouraging, wonderful, rich book when you think about it in this way. Now also, before we begin with that, I want to mention that, as we just read, in this book, Paul is requesting a certain kind of response from Philemon. Now, we don't know, there's nothing written what happened after Paul wrote this. So I'm assuming, as we go through this information, I'm assuming that Philemon did what Paul asked him to do, responded the way Paul asked him to respond. Okay, and I don't think there's any reason not to think that would be the case. All right, so Philemon, in this passage, in this book, legally owned Onesimus. According to the law in that place, he legally owned Onesimus. All men, all sinners, we can say, are legally owned by God. He's the creator of all. And so just by the fact that he's a creator of all, he legally owns all men. Onesimus was a disobedient, runaway servant. Turn with me over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3. So Onesimus was a disobedient, runaway servant. And by the way, while you're turning there, I just want to say, you hear a lot of times stuff about how people criticize the Bible and particularly Paul, because they say that Paul endorsed or accepted, or some would even say promoted, slavery. It's not. In the King James Bible, you find the word slave and you find the word servant. There's a difference between the two. And in a lot of the modern translations, they change the word servant to slave. It's not slave, it's a servant. All right, so Romans chapter 3. Again, Onesimus was a disobedient, runaway servant. Romans chapter 3 and verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So just as Onesimus did, we all were disobedient. We all went out of the way. We all ran away from God. Onesimus, as we read in Philemon, Onesimus was an unprofitable servant. He should have been profitable, but he was not. He was unprofitable. And if you notice again in verse 12, it says, they are together become unprofitable. So just as Onesimus was unprofitable to his owner, we all became unprofitable to God. The indication in Romans is that Onesimus stole. Before he left, he stole from Philemon. You know, at least probably some funds for traveling or whatever. Look back in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We, mankind, we have stole from God. We have robbed him of his glory and given his glory to others. The penalty, and there are different things that you can read about the penalty in that time and place for a servant who would run away. But whether you believe this record or that record, the penalty for a runaway servant was very severe. Some say the death penalty, some a little bit lesser, but nevertheless very severe. And the penalty for our disobedience, our running away from God, is eternal judgment. The Roman law condemned Onesimus as a runaway servant. That was a violation of the law. Again, and there's a penalty for it. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So in the case of Onesimus, after he ran away from his owner, if he appealed to the law, what would the law help him? The law would condemn him. It wouldn't help him at all. And so the same with us. When we've become unprofitable and run away from God, gone out of the way, if we appeal to the law, that will only condemn us. So that's not going to work. It wouldn't have worked for Onesimus, and it's not going to work for us. The only way that Onesimus could find freedom and deliverance from the penalty of the law was through Paul. That was his only hope, is that Paul had to intercede on his behalf. The only way that we can have freedom from sin and deliverance from eternal judgment is through Jesus Christ. There's no other thing, no other person that we can appeal to. Turn back to the book of Philemon. Philemon and verse 17. He says, "If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself." So there's some details that we maybe don't know for certain about the account that's given here. Might have to kind of fill in the blanks a little bit here and there. But the indication, certainly, we know that Onesimus ran away from his owner, Philemon. And it's pretty clear at some point that he encountered Paul. And Paul was in prison at this time. So we don't know for sure how it ended up that Philemon or that Onesimus met with Paul in prison. Some think that he, Onesimus, was arrested and got thrown in prison and he met Paul that way. But I don't think so. I think happened is that Onesimus had heard from his owner Philemon many, many times about this man Paul and all the things that he had learned from Paul and all the ways that Paul had ministered to him and other saints. And so when Onesimus ran away, I believe that he was in a situation where he had come to realize that he was a sinner and was desperate, and he, I believe, intentionally sought out Paul. But in any case, Paul and Onesimus met in prison, and Paul was a friend to Onesimus. And as you see again in verse 17, he was a partner, an equal partner with Philemon. If you notice at the beginning of the book, in verse 1, in many of Paul's epistles, he begins and he says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ," or some similar words. He doesn't do that in Philemon because he's not appealing to Philemon from the viewpoint of, "I'm your apostle and you'd better obey what I say." In Philemon, he's appealing to him as a partner, an equal partner and brother in Christ. And so, in the same way, Jesus Christ is a friend to sinners and an equal partner with God the Father. So just like Paul had a relationship with Philemon, they were partners, and Paul could appeal to Philemon like no one else could. If someone else would have gone to Philemon and appealed to him, it wouldn't have had the impact that it has when Paul appeals to him. So in the same way, the only one who can appeal to God the Father on our behalf is Jesus Christ. Our only hope is Jesus Christ has to be our friend, as Paul was with Onesimus. And then Jesus Christ, has to appeal to the Father. They're equal partners, but he has to appeal to the Father on our behalf. Then verse 18 says, "If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account." So Paul offered to have the debt, if we can say the debt of sin, of Onesimus put to his account. He says, "Put that on mine account." Jesus Christ on the cross paid the penalty for our sin. Our sin was put to his account on the cross. And then notice verse 19. "I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides." So Paul offered to pay the full amount. He said, "I will repay it." So Paul doesn't say, "How about Philemon, I'll pay 50%, you pay 50%. or I'll pay 80%. You pay. No, he's going to pay the full amount. Put it on mine account. I will repay it. Jesus Christ on the cross paid the full penalty for sin. He paid it all. There, look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. On the cross, Jesus Christ paid the full account. There's nothing left for us to pay. Just as Paul did not ask Philemon, you know, I'll do my share, you do your part. No, he paid the full account. Paul brought reconciliation between, there's a significant problem, a significant divide between Onesimus and Philemon. And Paul brought reconciliation between them. In the same way, Jesus Christ reconciles sinners with God. If you recall in Philemon, it says that Onesimus departed for a season. So we also, as sinners, departed from God for a season. And the call of the gospel now is to return, to believe the gospel and return. Onesimus had to, Paul obviously told Onesimus, when they met in prison, told Onesimus to return to his owner, go back to Philemon. Onesimus didn't have to do that. He could have told Paul, that there's no way I'm going back there. But of his own free will, he chose to return to his owner. And so in the same way, we must, of our own free will, look to Christ and his cross and return to the Father. Onesimus could be received back only by the grace of Philemon. When Onesimus returned to Philemon and he brought this letter from Paul, Philemon could have said, you get out of here or I'll get my shotgun. There's no way that I'm going to forgive you and receive you back. And so only by Philemon's grace could Onesimus be received back. And of course, we can be received, we can be saved only by the grace of God. Philemon, and it's not specifically stated here, but again, I'm assuming that Philemon was willing to do what Paul requested here. Philemon accepted Paul's payment. God the Father accepted the payment of Jesus Christ. Turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And by the way, as you're turning to Romans chapter 3, I'll remind you in 1 Corinthians, it says that we have been bought with a price. Jesus Christ had to pay a price to buy us. He had to have it put on his account. But then God the Father, just as Philemon, has to be willing to accept. When Paul says, put that on mine account, Philemon has to be willing to accept that. God the Father must be willing to accept what Jesus Christ, the price that Jesus Christ paid. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. That's a big word. But what does that mean? I know many of you know. It's a fully satisfying sacrifice. So, whom Jesus Christ, God the Father, hath set forth to be a propitiation, a fully satisfying sacrifice, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross, the blood that he shed on the cross, that price that he paid on the cross, that fully satisfied God. Just as Philemon didn't say, you know, okay, Paul, I'm glad that you said you'd put it to your account, that you will repay it, but I need a little more than that. I'm not satisfied yet. He was satisfied. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, God the Father was fully satisfied with that payment. Back in the book of Philemon, again, verse 17, he says, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Philemon, ultimately, when Onesimus returned and gave him this letter from Paul, Philemon received Onesimus as he would have received Paul. Of course, again, Paul and Philemon were close friends, close co-laborers in the ministry for many, many years. They had a deep love and affection and friendship. So if Paul visits Philemon or Philemon visits Paul, they're going to have wonderful affection, love in their friendship, in their ministry together. When Onesimus, who had so deeply wronged Philemon and offended him, when Onesimus now returns to Philemon, Philemon receives him as he would receive Paul. So he doesn't receive him begrudgingly, reluctantly, but he receives him as he would receive Paul. It's an amazing thing, as we sit here this morning, to think that when, if you understand anything whatsoever of our unrighteousness before God, to think that as we sit here now, God the Father receives us as he receives Jesus Christ. What a position to be in. Look in, again, the book of Philemon, verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. So when Onesimus returned to Philemon, not only did Philemon receive him as he would receive Paul, but he received him forever. So it wasn't just something for a week or a month, and then the anger and hurt started building up again. And no, when he received him, he received him forever. In the same case, when God the Father receives us because of the fully satisfying payment that Jesus Christ made, God the Father receives us forever. Verse 16, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So also when Onesimus returns to Philemon, not only does he receive him as he would receive Paul, and he receives him forever, but he doesn't receive him anymore as a servant, but or as merely a servant, but he receives him as a brother in Christ. Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. So it's not that Onesimus is now going to be able to go back into the same position he was and be a servant working for Philemon and owned by Philemon and so forth, but he is now received as a brother. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So because of the payment that Jesus Christ made on our account, on our behalf, God the Father receives us, not as many translations say and as many people teach, as a slave, not even as a servant, but as it says here, no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. He receives us as he receives his own beloved son, Jesus Christ. Again, you can return to the book of Philemon. Now, when Onesimus met with Paul in prison, and the indication also is that Onesimus, when he met Paul in prison, that Onesimus got saved. Paul told him the gospel and he got saved. And then Paul told him, go back to Philemon. That's the right thing to do. But here's a letter to give to him. Now, Onesimus could have left the prison and crumbled up this letter from Paul and thrown it away. He thought, I'm not doing that. But how foolish would he have been to do that? In the same way, how foolish are sinners today to spurn the grace of God, to toss out the cross of Christ, to crumble up the gospel and throw it away. Because that is our acceptance, our only acceptance with God the Father, is through, in this case, through the merits of this letter from Paul that Philemon had, in our case, through the cross of Christ. Notice verse 10. He says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Paul chose to be a mediator between Onesimus and Philemon. So he says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. So again, there's a problem between Onesimus and Philemon, a big divide. And there's only one person who can reconcile them, who can bring them together, and that is Paul. And so Paul takes that position as a mediator. I beseech thee, his partner, his dear friend and co-worker, I beseech thee for my son. He now calls Onesimus his son. And so in the same way, Jesus Christ is our mediator and the only mediator that we could have, the only effective mediator that we could have between God and man. Paul interceded for Onesimus. Jesus Christ intercedes for us. Again, verse 10, he says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. I believe in that verse, one of the things we're told, I have begotten in my bonds, bonds being Paul was in prison. Again, that when Onesimus came to see Paul in prison, Paul gave him the gospel and Onesimus was saved. He was begotten. So he had new life through Paul. We have new life through Jesus Christ. Verse 11, and I'm going to wrap it up here in a couple minutes. Verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. The name Onesimus means profitable, but he was unprofitable previously. But now he's profitable to thee and to me. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And as you're turning to Ephesians chapter 1, I'll remind you that Tracy read a verse this morning and pointed out that where it talks about Christ being glorified in the saints. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1. And so he said, it doesn't say glorified by the saints, but in the saints. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Earlier in this book, it talks about the inheritance that we have. When we are in Christ, the inheritance that we have. But if you notice in verse 18, this is not our inheritance. This is the glory of his inheritance. And what is the glory of his inheritance? It's in the saints. So Onesimus was unprofitable, but now after Paul intercedes for him, he becomes profitable. In the same way we read a moment ago in Romans that we are together all unprofitable. But now, when we receive that payment that Christ has made in our account, we now, amazingly, stunningly, are now profitable to God. He views us and he speaks about us as the glory of his inheritance in us, in the saints. A couple more things and we'll stop. As we read in Philemon, Paul says that he will do nothing without the consent of Philemon. He's not going to force Philemon to do anything. He beseeches him, but he's not going to do anything without his consent. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. And we could read many verses, we'll just read one, where we see that when Jesus Christ came to earth, he again and again stated that he will not do anything without the consent of the Father. John chapter 6, for example, and verse 38. He says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Just as Paul is not going to force his will upon Philemon, Jesus Christ also came to do the will of the Father. And then finally, in Philemon, at the end of the book, Philemon talks about, requests that Philemon prepare a lodging for Paul. And turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And we will conclude with this. So Philemon is asked to prepare a lodging for Paul. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20. "Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." God, after Jesus Christ paid the account in full, God the Father received Jesus Christ into heaven and gave him a place at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So, that's a couple ways to look at the book of Philemon. And I would just encourage you again, if you are at a point in your life where you've been deeply offended, wronged, hurt, and you know you've been in the ministry for many years, you know the doctrine, and you've taught the doctrine to many other people, but we're still human, we still have feelings, and those feelings can be hurt. If you're in that kind of a situation, I would urge you to spend a good deal of time in the book of Philemon and see what is the grace way to respond to people in those kind of situations. And then the second thing, and as I said, this is not everything that you can glean from the book of Philemon in this way, but it should get you started anyway. And I think it's just a wonderful, beautiful picture of the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ and how it is that we can be accepted by God the Father in the Beloved. Father, we thank you again.